Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless here to kick off the week the right way. Welcome to the Monday Night Sports Wrap Up. I'm feeling some type of way. We got about 3 days left in the month of March. Mayhem, madness, pandemonium, however you want to put those words in front of the doggone month of March, in front or in back or on top or low. I don't care how you put it together. I'm feeling some type of way. I'm happy. My boys did work yesterday. The Twins beat the Yankees. That's right. The Twins beat the Yankees. That's right, Small City. Yeah, yeah. It's preseason. It's preseason. But you already know, I feel some type of way because getting everybody out here in New York so jumping me up on my Twins. I'm playing. But we got a lot to kick off, man. NBA, NHL, MLB, you name it, we got it. Sports wrap-up is ready to get rocking and rolling. I done took off his blazer and loosened up the tie, stepped aside. Kitchen, Timeless, he is alive. Sports City, welcome to the wrap-up. Let's go.
Woo! 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 And back, niggas. Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. What you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather round, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Just a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Ah, young Vito, voice of the young people. Mouthpiece for hustlers, I'm back, motherfuckers. Your reign on the top was shorter than leprechauns. You can't fuck with hoes, what type of X you're on?
Okay, Sean. The caller number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes or more locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. Y'all don't get no better sport talk in the world. Y'all know. I don't care where you go. So, Sports City, I'm going to try to do my best to get out as much as I got. I also got people here in the kitchen. I know they're going to be throwing their stuff around here as best as possible. Of course, we got some prideful people in the kitchen today, so I know they're going to be feeling some type of way, too. So, Sports City, let's have at it, man. Calling in, and I'm big in the Metro today. Calling in by way of the state of Michigan. You know, we got the New Yorker himself, straight out of Brooklyn. Chandler Knight, a.k.a. Nas and Diamonds, welcome to the wrap-up. How you feeling this evening?
All right.
Okay. Yeah. I feel some type of way about these New Yorkers today. I feel some type of way. They can't talk to me right now. I'm feeling good. Preseason. Don't worry, we got the buffet coming up, Sports City. Y'all stay tuned. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia. I have Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the wrap up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good. And I might be one of the happiest people in the state of Virginia. Thank you, Syracuse.
And last but not least, also in the state of in the same city, we have Aaron Simmons in the building. Welcome to the rattle. How are you feeling this evening?
The boy's back in the building. Syracuse is back on the map. Back to Sports City Chefs. Well, I know Red Simmons. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Okay. See how people come back. See how people come back when their boys start doing good. See what happened there. Okay.
Don't worry, you'll be hiding when the NCAA comes looking for them.
Right, because if Houston was still sluggish, I ain't even going to talk about Houston right now. I ain't going to do all of that. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about. You know what I'm saying? So this how I put it. You know, people like Mr. Simmons, they get a change of heart. You know, at one point, there was blood. Now he crisp. You know, he all blued out, you know.
Hey, Ty, you want to get red up? Ty,
you feel me?
Throw a school book in front of him. He'll go run it because they don't know what school books are.
Oh, wow.
Listen, we've already had this conversation. We probably had this conversation. Me and Chandler specifically, we said, yo, once Sirius T start getting beat up, yo, he go find another kitchen. He go make peanut butter and jelly. He don't get this prick in soup. You feel me?
I like how you and Chandler talk about this off air. You and I have had conversations all week off air. And yeah, if Tess want to get at me, I'm not hard to find.
Okay. Like you're saying, off air, we talk to you. You know when it comes to the kitchen. Stop acting like that.
No, I've been watching this for damn near nine years. You know how the boy gets crazy busy. Don't get it twisted. Mr. Powell.
Well, we got a show. You know what I'm saying? If y'all wasn't up there fighting with Utah for the AC, you would have still been at home twiddling your tongue. You know what I'm saying? But now, let me get into the topic. Now that the Final Four is set, you guys hear from Mr. Simmons now. You see what I'm saying? If dudes would have bumped their heads just a little bit, we'd probably had a little, you know, more time away from Mr. Simmons. But it's set now. It's set, Sports City. So, he's feeling some type of way. We'll get to that secondly. But first and foremost, I guess I got to, like, kind of congratulate both of these guys or call it how this would have went down. One, Tommy said Syracuse would pull this out. Two, Taylor Knight said that this game would be very ugly. The way that it started out, I was like, listen, Virginia is slapping these dudes around. I don't know what they're going to do. And then all of a sudden, Coach Bennett, I guess he was, in the words of Chandler Knight, trying to be the smartest man in the room. He sits Gill for like 10 minutes with no foul trouble, no nothing, and then Syracuse just stormed back. And I don't blame Syracuse for what they did, because, you know, it's an old saying of seizing the moment. And if they're going to get one of their premier players off of the floor, take advantage of everything that's in front of them. And they were taking crazy shots with Perontis, taking deep three. He hit one of those deep threes, and I guess he was feeling himself that he could shoot that shot all night. They were settling for jump shots instead of crashing in the lane and making it tough for Syracuse. Syracuse kept cutting that lead. They cut it to as much as five, and then Virginia tried to extend the lead again. And once Syracuse withstood that last punch, Syracuse did not, you know, wilter by any means, took the lead and did not see the lead switch sides again. I want to see how you guys feel about at least this first game before we go into the second game. I'll start off with you first, Chandler, and you and Tommy actually called it different ways but interesting perspectives. Chandler said this would be ugly. Before the game started up in Sports City, y'all know I'm a Vegas guy. Y'all know I go out there. I looked at the over-under, right? The over-under on this game was 124.5 total, right? So when the halftime score came out, it was like 30-something to, like, you know, something in the teens. You know what I'm saying? It was like Syracuse numbers was in the teens. I was like, Virginia is playing basketball. Do you hear me? Like, they are not playing around. They came out that second half. It didn't even look like they were going to even score 60. They came back and turned it all the way up. I mean, literally, I don't know what Jim Boeheim said to them. If this could potentially be my last season, you know, both of these teams play defense, and Syracuse, you know, finally extended that zone and made Virginia settle for the jump shot. Like, we, you know, that's the trouble with dealing with that 2-3, dealing with a shot that you don't really want to take. But, Chandler, I'll let you set it off on a matchup that, you know, is totally questionable at the end of the day.
Well, one of the things I said about Virginia was they are due for a stinker. At any moment, they can just stink up the joint, and they did. They had this game in hand, and then they stunk the joint up. There's no way you let a team come back from that deficit. No way. Good for Syracuse. They managed to come back. You know, the final score looks like it was a good game. I don't think it was. I think that was my problem with both Syracuse and Virginia. At any moment, they're capable of throwing up a clunker of a game, and Virginia decided to do it in the second half of the game. I mean, Tommy picked Syracuse to win the game, and he was right. But how do you lose this game if you're Virginia and you're up like that? how do you lose the game? I don't know, but like I said, I thought it'd be ugly, and it did turn out to be ugly at least the second half. But, you know, congratulations to Syracuse. And, yeah, you know, the posse's after Boeheim, the posse's after Roy Williams. So maybe he did go in there and say, hey, man, y'all know they're trying to get me. You know, if we lose, that's it. So I don't know what he said. But apparently Tony Bennett in Virginia said, hey, I got more seasons. Don't worry about it. We got the game in hand. Y'all could just relax. Because it looked like they just came out like, okay, game is over. And there you go. Syracuse won.
Listen to this. One of their star player, Gill, right? He finished the game with three fouls, right? Three fouls. He wasn't in foul trouble. This is what he finished the game with, three fouls. He's 4-for-4 from the field. How are you sitting him on the bench? And he's perfect. He's perfect on the field. They couldn't stop him. Could not stop him. He sat him, like I said, like, and I'm using Chandler's face because it's like, okay, even if I, okay, at one point in time, Virginia had the lead up to 17. If I see that lead cut to like 11, 13, 11, and Syracuse is getting, hey, Mojo, listen, come on, Gil, get in there and keep breaking that press, making him run that baseline and work it that way. They had Brogdon, who I can't take too much away from Brogdon because he was the ACC Player of the Year, you know, stud, 2-for-14 from the field. That jump shot is not falling for you, brother. It's not falling. Y'all get to work to get y'all here, and they totally went away from it. They totally went away from playing that paint game and started settling for jump shot after jump shot. I just don't get it. I don't know what got Virginia caught up until this point, or a timeout where Bennett could regroup the troops and try and go battle back with Syracuse. It looked like he was totally being throttled. They got outscored in the second half by 20 points. By 20 points. Syracuse scored 47 points in that second half. Damn near 50 points, people. Damn near 50. Like at 20 minutes of play. I just don't get it. I mean, yeah, Richardson played awesome ball in that second half. But this is okay. You mean to tell me Virginia is the best defensive team in college basketball? They give up 50 points and a half? I don't get it. Let me throw this one around the kitchen. Sirius, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on this one, the ACC battle? The former Big East team taking care of business up against Virginia.
You know, man, it's very interesting. You know, I wasn't on the show to predict, you know, the show, and I can't say that I could have seen even this ball game, especially, you know, looking at how they came out. Like, game busters went up and held a double-digit lead. Now, the statistics show, you know, if you're going in, especially playing UVA team, and they have a double-digit lead, they typically don't need those ball games, you know. Credit to Jim Boeheim for, you know, throwing away what seemingly wasn't working. You know, I mean, they came out of the half, and they picked them up half, you know, from you know, full court. They got them out of that 2-3 zone, which was something that you don't very see from a Syracuse coach, you know, Syracuse team. So they threw a monkey wrench in the game plan, sort of, well, and it rattled UVA. It really did. You know, aside from, you know, the bad coaching decision, leaving, you know, him on the bench, aside from, you know, Brogdon, you know, not having a good shooting day, if you look over the course of the UVA season, their biggest Achilles heel has been the ability for them to not score the basketball. I mean, they've been winning games, you know, 56 to, you know, some odd, 60-some-odd to, you know, whatever. I mean, they're not a high-scoring team. So if their jump shots aren't falling, you know, the opponent has very, very easy time getting the boards and running out and getting hot. And that's exactly what Syracuse is able to do. I wouldn't have seen it coming, you know, because, again, I'm of the belief that Syracuse was, you know, playing with house money anyway. I don't think they should have been in the tournament. But they got in the tournament, and they're on this amazing run right now. And credit to Jim Boeheim for not believing the press clippers and not believing the hype. And, you know, his team just bought in and, you know, pulled off one of the biggest upsets, you know, in tournament history, if you will. I mean, again, in this tournament, you throw out the fact that, you know, they're ACC opponents and, you know, they play each other and this, that, and the third. I mean, when it comes to this one-and-done, this one-and-done season and this one-and-done tournament, you know, you got to come ready to play, you know, for 60 minutes. And UVA didn't do that. So credit to Jim Boeheim and that coaching staff for seeing something, seeing a chink in the armor and taking full advantage of it. And, you know, they got themselves a battle-tested, you know, coach who isn't afraid to do things that may not work. So I'm excited about it. It's going to be interesting for them to match up against North Carolina, but we'll talk about that later. But credit to Jim Boeheim there for making the move.
See what the Big East do? See what the Big East do to teams, man? Get them all tough and playing up against these ACC teams. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, man. This is what happened. Okay, so, Tommy, you actually called Syracuse being successful. Your thoughts on the totality of the game?
One, I was nervous. But when I seen Boeheim go into that press, I said, we got them. They got them. They got them. They got them. Because every game Virginia lost, teams sped them up. They choked. North Carolina's did it, I think, twice. Miami, when Miami beat them, they sped them up. This Virginia team does not like to do that. They like to be able to walk it up the floor, do this, do that. I'm telling you right now, if Boeheim would have came out and pressed this team right off the bat, I think Syracuse blew them off the floor. And just think about this. Benajay is a transfer from Duke. I bet you right now they wish they had him on that floor. That dude is, I'm telling you, he could be a first-round draft pick. Benajay is a beast. And North Carolina better be ready to play Saturday. But we'll get into that because I'm telling you, they could knock him off if they can rebound. That's how you beat Carolina. You had to rebound,
I don't know if it's that easy to beat North Carolina just by rebounding the ball. I think more than ever, you got to be able to.
North Carolina is a horrible shooting team, like me and Chandler talked about yesterday's show.
Listen, before the game that they played last night, they scored 100 points. Last night they scored what 85, 84. I don't think that you got to go out there and score. You got to score. We'll get into the North Carolina situation. Like I said, in a 40-minute game, Gill, their star player, played 24 minutes and was 4-for-4 from the field.
He's also battling an injury. He got hurt the game before.
Listen, if they tell you do or die tonight, are you going to do or are you going to sit on that sideline and die?
I mean, there's no tomorrow, man. I mean, that's not as bad as Oklahoma, you know, resting Buddy Hield. You know, I mean, this is a one and done type of situation, man. I'm shocked, you know, that you know Hield sat that long. I mean, I know he was hurt. We all knew the man was battling some type of injury, some type of illness. But I mean, this is a tournament. And the thing is, like Chandler said, and like T said, you know, you see that leaf slipping away. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to take the heartbeat and the temperature of your ball club, and when that temperature started rising and your club wasn't responding, you had to throw some medicine in there, and he just sat there on the bench drinking the Gatorade. That was bad coaching right there.
I mean,
and if I'm correct, most of their star players are all seniors at Virginia. So they'll have pretty much a whole new roster.
Right, that's what I'm saying. This is the last time. This is potentially, at that time when they had a lead, this could be potentially your last game if you mess around and lose, and you're still over there wrestling. I can tell, and you're a star. And not to say, like, you know, I'm going to just get up and walk to the score table, coach, I think I'm ready. Like, give me a go. Like see me. Let me see what I can go out there and do. Like, he was accepting Syracuse coming back and watching the momentum shift in their faces. When he was on the floor, the plus minus was in their favor. It was in their favor. Syracuse could not figure out when they had Brogdon at the free throw line and he was getting a dip down at the baseline. That was a score because they were all shifting to him. The three ball was falling for them. They were up double digits on Syracuse early. They had Syracuse at 10 points until like the 4-minute mark in the first half. Syracuse was sitting on 10 for a long time. They only scored 5 buckets total. and a half? Are you serious? Are you serious? Like I don't get it. I stuck to the script. Virginia's script this whole time has been defense. You mean to tell me they come out after halftime and give up 50? They give up 50. They can be a team, watch the team score like 30 points. Total. And gave that up in a half. More. I just don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, anything else that you guys would like to say toward this game before we move away from it? Okay, the silence does help me. Okay, so the next situation that we have is a game that rattled my cage a little bit, because the reason why I'm not going to lie, the reason why I was pulling for North Carolina is because of my bracket. That was the only team I had left to make the Final Four, and I'm hovering around first place. So it's like, I need you guys to win. I need North Carolina to win. Please win. And Notre Dame was giving them a fight. It is something about Mike Bray, another Big East battle coach that is ready for this situation. And all tournament long, Notre Dame has been getting, you know, taken care of in the first half. And in the second half, they play strong basketball. Demetrius Jackson, almost every time he was coming down court, was finding his way to the bucket, was scoring the ball somehow. It was like, who's going to pick him up? Either Barry or Page. One of you guys stop him. But Jackson, he rolled his ankle. It's still, as soon as he rolled his ankle, Notre Dame called a timeout. They put him back out there. He scored 5 points the next two possessions. He went on a 5-0 run himself. Like, those guys were hard. Like, that never, just like Tommy said, he's injured, being Anthony Gill. He's injured. Jackson, he knew this was his last game as a senior. He rolled his ankle on in that game. He came out that timeout and was like, I am not going home. Like, that's what I'm talking about. That's the type of guy who I'm talking about. Who's going to sit there and watch their team get beat? I mean, even though Notre Dame lost, but you get the best efforts out of guys like August and Jackson, you know, guys that are going to go at North Carolina, regardless if North Carolina was ranked number one at one point in time, knowing that these guys just won the conference tournament. That was a good game. I'm not going to lie. The score doesn't really show too much of how the game initially went down, but I think once this game wore on, I think North Carolina turned the pressure up as much as they could possibly can. Chandler, I come back to you. Your thoughts on the Notre Dame-North Carolina matchup?
Well, I didn't watch a lot of this one because the Rangers were playing. I watched some of it in the beginning, and Notre Dame was there, but once again, it came down to something we talked about, which is North Carolina got on those boards. And I understand you're talking about North Carolina, the points they've scored. Look at the teams that North Carolina beat. Look at the teams they beat. Every team they beat outside of Notre Dame really couldn't match them on the boards. I thought Notre Dame could. They could. They got points and they scored and it looks good. But I still say, if they run into a team that can rebound with them, North Carolina is going to get exposed. Notre Dame couldn't rebound with them. That's really what it came down to. And they hit some shots, which they normally don't do. They hit some shots. But, you know, it was a great effort by Notre Dame, but you know what? They just kind of got outmanned and outgunned.
I want to just say this initially, and then y'all can find an answer for it. This is what lost for Notre Dame. Two words. Bryce Johnson. They had no answer for him at all. Whether they put a gust on him, whoever wanted to come up that bench to try and deal. I love his nickname. They call him the pogo stick because he does not stop jumping. And he has confidence in that jump shot. He actually has a jump shot. Like, what else does he need? He has a post game. He can shoot. He can rebound. He can block shot. I mean, that's a high-energy guy that the team feeds off of. When you got an energy guy that's going all out, especially as a senior, him in his senior game, that's tough. That's very tough. If they can find somebody to get in the face of Bryce Johnson, that's when I see North Carolina can fall. But right now, him and Buddy Hield are the guys of the tournament right now. Buddy Hield is putting up massive numbers. Bryce Johnson is doing everything that North Carolina needs. Even though Marcus Page went off and had a great shooting night the other day, Bryce Johnson has been the more consistent thing going for this Tar Heel team. Tommy, I'll let you allude to this game. Your thoughts on Notre Dame being ousted by the Tar Heels?
Chandler hit it right on the dot. It all came down to some second-chance points in Bryce Johnson. And The only other team that I think that could possibly maybe be able to control them getting the second chances, teams out, and that was Kansas. I actually had Kansas to North Carolina in the finals in the championship game and had Kansas winning because I thought Kansas could match up with them on the boards. But, of course, Villanova put a wrench in that. But maybe Oklahoma can. I mean, Syracuse might be able to, but I don't see it. Maybe they'll surprise me. But, I mean, that's the key, is to keeping them off the boards. Because, like we said, Paige isn't a consistent shooter. I mean, Notre Dame was doing okay, and then they just, like, they got tired and just didn't want to hit the boards anymore.
Listen to these numbers if you want to throw in, and I like this because I said Bryce Johnson. Notre Dame as a team, if you want to use rebounds, we'll do this. Notre Dame as a team, 15. Bryce Johnson, 12. Just by himself, I'm trying to tell you, this guy is bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Listen, I'm a fan. I ain't even going to lie. Like, I won't compare him to Sheed. I think when Sheed came out in 95, I was an avid Sheed fan. I just wanted him to get out of that baby blue so I could start cheering for him. But Bryce Johnson got that type of game, man. If Syracuse is going to have to find something interesting in that 2-3 zone, it's going to be interesting because they can't really feed him in the midst of that zone with Bayhan. So it's going to be interesting to see how he can score with them trying to collapse on him because they're already going to see at least 4 or 5 days worth of film on what this guy is comfortable with doing. If they leave the game in the hands of Kennedy Meeks, Syracuse has a big shot. They have a big shot at going after it because Kennedy Meeks is probably the softest big man I've ever seen come through college basketball, period. Serious, your thoughts on your boys advancing to the Final Four, going up against another former Big East team and now an ACC team in Syracuse. What's your thoughts on the game?
I'm going to say this and I got to jump out because I got a basketball game to go play. But, you know, honestly, man, it's nice. You know, I mean, in spite of all the, you know, adversity, it's really nice, you know, that this team has managed to come together. You know, I really can't argue with what Chandler said. You know, we did, you know, get, you know, Lady Luck smiling on us a little bit, you know, with who we played. You know, there really wasn't too many people that, you know, I really felt would challenge us, especially when it came to, you know, attacking the glass, and that's our bread and butter. You know, I mean, we average, you know, over 40-plus points, you know, in the paint, you know, a game. You know, and if, you know, Paige is hitting his outside shot and Jackson is hitting his outside shot, you know, and Barry, you know, they're able to slice and dice and get to the rack, I didn't see a team beating us. I really did, you know, and that's what we've been able to get this whole tournament, you know. Going up against Syracuse and, you know, again, a familiar foe, you know, played them this year, you know, beat them this year. But again, you know, this is a tournament. You know, we all, you know, can run into a bad day, run into a bad night. I mean, one thing that as quietly is kept, you know, we didn't take off and really put that game out of reach until the second half. I mean, Notre Dame wasn't scared. I mean, they actually beat us, you know, once this year already. So, you know, Syracuse, again, is a familiar foe. But Bryce is literally a man among boys. I'm literally going to cry probably, you know, when after he cut down the nets in Houston and, you know, he rides off and get drafted by some whack squad in the NBA who doesn't know how to use him properly. But, you know, it's been a fun ride, you know, with this group and bunch with this group. I'm excited about, you know, playing Syracuse. I'm excited about being in the Final Four. And plus, you know, again, I really can't argue with what Chandler said. I really can't. You know, we really have to face, you know, too many people, you know, that start to scare anybody. Again, look on my Facebook. You know, I honestly said the only squad that I'm really worried about is UVA. Because that's a squad that likes to muddy things up and is not, you know, can get in there and bang with us and, you know, they beat us once this year, and we managed to get them back in the ACC championship. But, you know, that's a squad that, you know, can strap up and play defense and can muddy things up. And Brogdon seems to give, you know, Blake Johnson a little bit of headache, you know, just because they both have great size, they both have great length. But, you know, Syracuse managed to take care of that for me. And then, again, Tommy Beans hit the nail on the head. The only other squad that I thought we were going to battle with was Kansas, and, you know, Villanova took care of that. So, I'm excited, man. I like my chances, but, again, you know, we got to play these games, and I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah, but look, here goes the situation with North Carolina. It's all about boards. Since the tournament started, and I'm not even going to count the first round because it's the 16th seed, even though Florida Gulf Coast kept it close early, but then North Carolina took off on them. They scored 83 points, and that was their lowest total up against the 16th seed. They played Providence, where Bento and Chris Dunn, these guys are some of the best rebounders in the game, 85-66, beat them by damn near 20. And then Indiana, a team that plays the boards well, they put up 101 on them. And then they played Notre Dame and were 12 points. I said 85. They scored 88 against Notre Dame. Like, they are scoring the ball. They are averaging over 84 points a game. You are going to have to score the ball. I didn't cut you off. I'll let you rock. Look. Now, they're averaging over 84 points a game. Now, like I said, if you come up with interesting stops, then this could slow them down to, like, a 65 to a 72-point ratio, which makes it interesting on slowing North Carolina down. But these guys are doing this against quality teams like Indiana, who was ranked in the top 15. Providence, who was ranked in the top 5 at one point in the season. And Notre Dame, who was a top 10 ranked team. Like, these guys are not playing around. They are not playing around.
Right.
This is a trouble game that they run into up against Syracuse because, one, Boeheim is ready for this. Boeheim knows what's up with North Carolina. So, look, if this zone could extend North Carolina, force them into some interesting shots, it's a 50-50 battle off that glass. I think the edge would go to North Carolina if we're going to look at a rebounder perspective. But if you got these guys shooting shots, I mean, this could go right in North Carolina. I mean, Syracuse is favorite too because they're getting help from guys like Richardson and Leiden, guys that you didn't think would be the guys coming out showing up for Syracuse. Syracuse has been getting help from everybody, Cooney as well. Just to throw some of the names out there for the
Orange. Well, I'm going to say this, you know what I'm saying? Yes, they've been putting up tremendous numbers, okay? Look at the offensive rebounds that were, you know, gotten by North Carolina Bigs, okay? Kennedy Meeks, again, really softest dude that ever put on a Tar Heel uniform, is averaging almost double-figure boards. Half of those are offensive rebounds, you know what I'm saying? We know what Bryce Johnson's doing. I mean, this dude jumps off the damn jump. You know what I'm saying? And grabs boards. So, yes, we'll score on points. I'm not taking any away from that. But our bread is butter of offensive rebounds and putbacks. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Hicks is coming off the bench, possible sixth man of the year, and he's averaging, you know, over five to seven boards a game as well. Just coming off the bench. We have four or five big men that we rotate in just to grab damn boards. You know what I'm saying? And you have putbacks and this, that, and the third. So that's why our bread is better. They're under the squad that you mentioned, Providence, Indiana, Gulf Coast, Notre Dame, that have that many big men that are that active on grabbing boards and getting putbacks. It can be any one of those guys on any given night. So, yeah, you know, Page went off for 20-some-odd against Indiana. And, yeah, Bryce Johnson has been the most consistent with his mid-range and, you know, posting this, that, and the third. But our bread is butter on grabbing boards. We got a plethora of men that we could throw in there and just travel fence and grab boards. And I haven't seen a team yet with that quality of big men.
Right. And that's the whole thing. It's Ty, you're saying something and you're not actually correct. Indiana's best player was Yogi Ferrell. He's a guard. Okay? But Providence was not a team that was strong in rebounding. What North Carolina's doing is kind of like what some pro teams do with their defensive line. They stockpile a bunch of good defensive linemen, and they rotate them in and out so nobody gets tired. And that's what North Carolina's doing with their forwards and their centers. They're rotating four to five guys, so you always have fresh legs going up for boards. These other teams, they only have one or two guys who rebound. If I got four guys rebounding versus your two, I'm going to beat you. Okay? I'm going to beat you. because I have more people hitting the board than you do. If you keep Carolina off the board, you can beat them. That's why they've lost. Look at some of the games they lost this year. The games they lost, they couldn't rebound against those teams. Those teams said, no, you're not going to rebound against us. And then they forced Carolina the next shot. Carolina can't make shots. But what they can do is rebound like gangbusters and get second, third, fourth, fifth shots. Hell, by the time you get to the third and the fourth shot, I'm tired of jumping.
I'm gonna say it like this. In that game against Indiana, since I'm looking back at the rebounding edge, they out-rebounded them by 5, 37 to 32. You know what the consistent cog in that game was? A North Carolina record in double-doubles and Bryce Johnson with 20 and 10.
He Marcus is the most consistent. Marcus lost that game,
though. Wait, say that again?
Marcus Chase went off that game. Not the day he went off, but he had his chance in like the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, but Marcus Page went off in the first half. He was 5 for 5 in the first half. You know what he finished the game with? He was 2 for 7 for the end of the game. He did nothing in the second half. Nothing.
The only team North Carolina had in that bracket that could have possibly out-rebounded them and kept them off the board got beat by Indiana, and that was Kentucky.
Two. I think, you know, Kentucky does have the big, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, they did meet up, didn't they? If I'm not mistaken, I can look at your schedule and see. But Calipari's had that edge, but I don't even want to look at it. If they could have got there or whatever, I want to look at the games that they initially had to get to this point. And a guy like, I think his name was Bryant, Thomas Bryant, if I'm not mistaken, he had a good day up against North Carolina, too. They also had Williams, who had a 21-point effort. They need somebody that you're going to have to get scored. I know at the end of the day you got to score more than the other team, but you're going to at least have to put up an 80-plus-point effort up against this Tar Heel team. You're going to have to. You're going to have to. I understand you got to put your backside on a guy and clear him out, but you need score. Even in a game like Yogi Ferrell, we put up 25 and they still lost by 15. Like it's going to take more than one guy to rebound. It's going to take more than one body to be the hot hand of ammunition to shoot these guys out of the gym. North Carolina did it from all efforts. That's why they're big right now. And I'm not saying that Syracuse can't upset them or the team on the other side of the bracket for the Final Four can't get it done. But it's going to take an all-out team effort across the board, scoring, rebounding, defense, you name it, you got it. The Tigers are bringing it. They are bringing it.
Yeah. You have to team rebound against North Carolina, and they play teams that don't team rebound. You got to send 4 guys to the glass against them.
Right.
You have to. You got to send 4 guys. And if we look at the teams they've beaten, nobody's been able to send 4 guys to the glass. Because a lot of these teams their game is outside. If your game is shooting jump shots, you are not going to beat North Carolina. You're not going to beat them. You will not beat them. And the reason you got to send 4 to the glass is you got to get their bigs in foul trouble. Even though they're rotating guys, you got to get Bryce Johnson off the freaking floor. You got
to
get him off the floor.
You have that boy is a problem. Oh my goodness! Listen, 3 straight games of double doubles. Like he's getting them easy. Against notable names in college basketball. Like he's making these dudes look like they don't even deserve to be out there. I'm not putting this past Syracuse because Syracuse shocked the hell out of me coming back on Virginia. But I think Coach Bennett more than ever helped them guys get back in that game, and it was too late once Syracuse got that momentum. And the crowd was vibing with them. Once that went in their favor, I found it very hard for Virginia to withstand what Gazzone was doing. A lot of, and I hate to say it like this, because a lot of people try to put this in front of Russell, but, you know, looking at Hero basketball, a lot of these guys are just settling for deep three or jump shots instead of working that zone and getting inside with one pass and making a score at the basket. I tip my hat to what Syracuse is able to do, but this is an interesting matchup. With Syracuse and North Carolina, because I can't really tip my hat to North Carolina and say, you know what, they're going to take care of business, even though you got guys on different networks, you know, Dickie V and such. So North Carolina's going to do this at a third. I don't even want to hear that, man, because I feel like they jinxed these guys going out there to play ball. The ball has to be thrown up in the sky. forget paper champions. Believe me, I've learned lessons. Lots of people trying to crown people off of a piece of paper. And on the other side,
and you know what? We've been talking about
ahead.
The number one pick in the draft. I'm sorry. Don't be surprised if Bryce Johnson hasn't played his way into the number one pick.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Don't do that to me, man. Now, because I'm a fan of the guy, I'm a fan of him, and I'm a big fan of Buddy Hill. And I was like, Harold Woods is throwing out there. It's tough for me to look away from Buddy Hill saying that he's not going to be the number one pick. But seeing what Bryce Johnson is able to do, but now I look at it, Philly don't need another big man, man. If Philadelphia goes and get Bryce Johnson, I will never watch a Sixer game. I won't say I won't watch basketball again, but I'm not watching a Sixer game no more. You can forget it, because they in the past 4 years, that's four bigs, right? Embiid, Noel, Okafor, and if they go up to Bryce Johnson, that would be four big men at the top of the draft. Like, they are really trying to pummel the Sixers. They better not. Maybe like 40% mad to get Ben Simmons. Then do that. If you go away from Buddy Hill and don't have a trigger man and go after Bryce, and I'm not taking anything away from him, like, that's not a bad move. But if you go get Bryce Johnson, like, come on, really? You don't have any shooting on that team. None.
But you can trade Okafor or Embiid, who, if they don't trade him, he's going to break his foot again because he don't want to play. I seriously think Joel Embiid is breaking his foot on purpose. They say, Joe, you ready to play? Nah, man, he's going to get a hammer break his foot. But I think Philly is going to trade one of them. Now, imagine a front line of Bryce Johnson and Nerlens Noel, right? Because Nerlens Noel has turned to a great rebounder. You put him and Bryce Johnson on the same front line, it's not a bad thing like it would be with Embiid and Okafor, who both need to basically post up on the block. Now, you could trade Okafor. Listen, you can get picks and players for Okafor. You could probably only get picks for Embiid. But you can move both of those guys, honestly. And all of a sudden, the Sixers are a playoff team, depending on who they get.
I still am confused about them. They don't have any ammunition, man. They don't have any ammunition. Their shooter that they have on their team, I watched his whole career in college very well. His name is Hollis Thompson from Georgetown. He don't even amount to being a shooter in the league. And he was a shooter in college. Don't get me wrong. He can shoot the ball in college. He came to the league, and he's just a defender. He is just a defender out there on the floor, and they only have 9 wins. You don't need anybody else in
there. But listen, I was being funny with T.J. McConnell.
I was saying who, like, I want you to say it again.
But if you move Okafor, right, you can move Okafor to a lot of teams that have excess shooting and don't have any offense. You could move him to, say, a Charlotte, because Charlotte has some guys who can shoot. You can move him to, say, let me see. You can move him to a
D.C.
You can move him to
D.C. to Wizards, and I'll get rid of Otto Porter. They can have that bone.
You got to give up Bradley Beal. You got to give up Bradley Beal. You got to give up Beal if you want Okafor. But now, that which is an interesting trade in of itself. There's some teams, man, that have the L.A. Jordan Clarkson and maybe a Nick Young and a draft pick. I think L.A. would give that up for Okafor. And that's not a bad trade. Jordan Clarkson's a young up-and-coming, and he can shoot. You know what I'm saying? So there's some guys you can get if you decide to move Okafor. And also, if you just move him for draft picks, guess what? You can draft Bryce Johnson and still get Buddy Hield.
We'll see how this does pan out. Please, Philadelphia. I'm not even a Sixer fan. I know one of my co-hosts on Thursday is Royce King. I know he's a diehard Sixer fan. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Don't get another big man. Get a guard or small. that can knock down a shot. I'm not saying just go out there and get a three-point shooter and have him go through, you know, growing pains and rebuilding over the next two or three seasons. Get somebody that's going to be an impact player, similar, I'm not going to say just like, but like a Moutier from Denver, somebody that already is kind of seasoned, could mess it to the NBA already. Philly, y'all don't have no more time to waste, man. Y'all done wasted like the past three or four seasons, and every team that's playing y'all is looking like they're going to roll over y'all, going to completely roll over y'all. Topics from you guys that over the weekend that you guys would like to discuss, I'll start with you first, Chandler. Any topic that you'd like to hit on before I keep going? Chandler, are you still there?
I'm sorry, I had it muted. I was just babbling. I'm looking at baseball and the draft right now. I mean, season's about to start, so I don't know if you want to get into that or if Tommy might have something that may be a little bit better.
Yeah, because I want to save some of the baseball for this week. I got the buffet coming around, so you keep that chilling. Unless we got something that we need to hit. And I'll be for real, which I'm not hiding away from it by any means. But Tommy, a topic that you like to address before we get things rolling some more here in the kitchen.
It's not really a topic. I just wanted to see what was really going on. I didn't really get to read it because I seen the show was starting soon. Is Kyrie Irving hurt again?
Is he? Yeah, I think he is.
Because I seen something where Kyrie was hurt, and I'm sitting there thinking, shoot, I can't read this, but I didn't know for sure what it was or anything. I didn't get to read the article that I seen on Twitter.
They're saying that he's day-to-day. He sat out Saturday up against the Knicks. But I guess their next game is tomorrow up against the Rockets. But I think, do they use it as precaution as they get closer to postseason, knowing how big he is to this team? You know, like to sit on Kyrie as much as possible, knowing how important he was to the Cavs' success last year. As soon as he got hurt game one, it kind of was a tall tale on how things were going to go for the Cavaliers up against Golden State. Even though they were winning some of the games, but LeBron needed an extra gun, especially without Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. I mean, we can throw that one around the kitchen. Chandler, your thoughts, do they sit on anything that Kyrie says? If something bothers them, just rest them. Or is it just a situation that they're just resting them, you know, just like LeBron? Because LeBron is actually scheduled to sit out this Tuesday up against the Houston Rockets as well.
Well, you know how I feel about Kyrie Irving. He's a guy who is more interested in what's good for him than he is for what's the team. He's also brittle. I think you have to sit him every time he reports any twinges because, God forbid, he plays, you know, hurt. There's a difference between being injured and being hurt. You know what I'm saying? And God forbid he plays even though he's got a little something going on. This is why I don't trust the Cavaliers. This is why I know they're not going to win the championship. This guy can't stay healthy. He can't stay healthy. And that's a problem. Because everybody says, oh, if he hadn't got hurt last year, well, the Golden State Warriors played the Cavaliers with a full roster and smoke-checked them. They smoke-checked them. Okay? And by the way, LeBron, you need to stop criticizing college kids and worry about your own team. That thing he said about the UNI was classless, and I really don't understand why nobody's talked about that. That was classless. Those are college kids. Some of them will never get to play basketball again. If you were to take a shot at college kids when your team can't get out of its own way, boggles my mind. But, yeah, the Cavaliers have to –
Whoa, wait. What was the statement that he made about the kids?
He said that everybody at the remember Northern Iowa where they lost that game where they were up whatever it was in the last 4 seconds and they wound up on the triple overtime. He said they should never play basketball again. Some of them kids never will get to play basketball again. That was their last game ever. You understand what I'm saying? That was classless, man. That was truly classless. It really was.
Looking back at that game, it's like, how much do you put in front of a coach? Because I'm not going to lie. But when I play ball, my coach made sure that we had 4-7. Look, 4-7 inbound plays. They had to work.
Right.
They had to work. We practice that. We had to get the ball inbound. It didn't matter if we was being pressed or not. We had at least five plays they get the ball in on a press or regular defense, regardless. Regardless.
And even with that, though, these are college kids. You understand what I'm saying? State college kids, they got overwhelmed in the moment. It happens. They got to live with this the rest of their life because, like I said, a lot of those kids are never going to play basketball again. You know, so for him to take a shot at them, I just found it classless, man. And that's why I'm glad that Cleveland is not going to win a championship. That's why I'm glad what's going to happen is going to happen. But, yeah, Kyrie Irving thing, yeah, you got to sit him because, God forbid, that dude is brittle as all get out.
I know. Tommy, your thoughts on it since you brought it up. I mean, your thoughts on Kyrie. Do they take, you know, extra precautionary measures and just sit on him if he says anything is tweaking with him? Or, you know, they kind of let him get out there because he's been resting for the early portion of the season. He was out until Christmas, and then he came back. So your thoughts on Kyrie since you brought him up?
I've always said, and I've always will say, I stand like Chandler in Chandler's point. He's soft, and I wouldn't want him on my team. He's a pansy. Oh, I stubbed my toe. I can't play today. Sorry, guys. But I'll sit back and make millions of dollars. This is what I've said, and I've always said, and I believe it was me, you, and Nacho who was on the show. I would not be surprised if the Miami Heat don't knock them out in the playoffs. I'm telling you right now, the Cavs will not make the Eastern Conference Finals. If they do, I'll come on and say I'm wrong. I don't see it
happening.
They've got too much problem in-house. You've got LeBron too worried about talking about college kids and going around building his saying that he wants for his career, he wants to play with his boys. Then you've got J.R. Smith going, well, you need to save a spot for me, LeBron. I would have kissed your ass the whole year too. Then you've got Kyrie doing whatever the hell Kyrie's doing, coming up with injuries. I'm telling you, they're not making it to the Eastern Conference Final. They may make it to the Eastern Conference. It's when they play Miami. But they will not make it to the NBA Finals. Let me correct myself. They will not be playing in the NBA Finals.
Okay, that was safe. Woo, I was about to say.
I can see that. I can see them not making the Eastern Conference Finals, man. I agree with Tommy. I think they're going to get knocked out, man. I really do. I really, really do. Because you got all this nonsense going on. You got Kyrie Irving who somebody's going to have to get moved off of this team next season. Those three guys can't play together. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love are more interested in their stats than they are winning the championship. LeBron's more interested in the nonsense and trying to keep his name relevant because everybody's talking about Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook. They're talking about everybody but him. So now he got a sub-tweet and talking about his beautiful basketball mind. I'm sorry, you don't have a beautiful mind. You're a moron. I can see, and I truly believe they will not make the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they get knocked out, man. I really do. I think they get knocked out.
Wow. And then this is interesting because if they do play Miami, it would be a second-round matchup in which, of course, Cleveland would have the home court edge. It will definitely take some sharp shooting, which Miami's been doing up until this point. But a lot of things can change, people. A lot of things can change in the Eastern Conference because some of these teams are only separated by like a game, game and a half, two games. So things can change. Miami might not even be there. Second round form. They could possibly move up or could fall down a couple spots as well, too. So people have to keep a close eye on that situation as well, looking at things within the Eastern Conference. As I look at things that are panning out in the Eastern Conference right now, seeding-wise, you have Miami as a fifth seed going up against they're half a game behind Boston. In which Miami is up on Brooklyn tonight. They're playing Brooklyn. So if they win tonight, they'll be notched up at the They're a game behind Atlanta. This is just such a cluster buster. It's crazy. Atlanta is 44-30. Boston is 43-30. Miami's 42-30. You see what I'm saying? So, like, if these guys continue to win out, it's going to be an interesting race for at least third place. You see what I'm saying? So that's what I'm keeping my eye on right now.
Cleveland better hope Detroit don't get in the playoffs, because last time I looked at the brackets, Detroit had that eighth seed.
Detroit is two games up on Chicago at the eighth spot, 39-35.
They could get knocked off in that first round.
Yeah, because Detroit, I'm telling you, man, I like the moves Detroit made. And listen, Cleveland got nobody that can stop Andre Drummond. They got nobody to stop him. And you know what Reggie Jackson can do. And I, you know, Ty, I have already admitted I was wrong about that. That contract they gave him actually now looks like they got him on the cheap. You know what I'm saying? That kid can easily drop 40 on you. Easy drop 40. And Andre Drummond's going to get 10 to 15 rebounds. You understand what I'm saying? So I can see Detroit. Listen, you do not want to play Detroit in the playoffs. Because in the seven-game series, they can still win in Cleveland. They can still win in Cleveland. And I'm telling you, man, I can see Reggie Jackson having three games where he drops 40 easy. And Andre Drummond getting you a double-double of 20 and 20. Come on, man.
Tristan wakes up. It puts an interesting rebound perspective with Drummond in the paint, even though I still give the edge to Drummond. But that more, I think it's Markieff, if I'm not mistaken, that's in Detroit. If he can stay on the floor and defend LeBron decently, I'm not going to say well, but be able to keep a body on LeBron, it puts a little pressure on Cleveland, a little pressure, because I think Reggie could actually make Kyrie exert some energy on the offensive side of the ball as well, too. So that's an interesting matchup. Hopefully Detroit can sit on it, but you still got the Chicago Bulls in their rearview mirror. Even though Chicago's losing convincingly to a guy like Orlando by 23, I still think that they could still jump in there if they get a string of wins, but Fred Hoiberg has a lot of work to do. I don't think this team buys into him by any means. By any means.
Not at all.
I mean,
Chicago's
got the Hawks tonight. So,
say that again?
I said the Bulls have the Hawks tonight.
And it's at home, but still, I'm not even convinced with the way that they've been playing, man. Like, Chicago, they're so loosey-goosey, it's not funny, man. It really isn't funny, man.
Where's Charlotte at in the playoff scheme? Where's Charlotte? They're about a fifth or sixth seed?
Charlotte is a sixth seed.
And listen, we've been sleeping on them all year. We've been sleeping on them, saying, I don't know. Listen, Kemba Walker, for all of the things he can't do, the one thing he does do is he shows up in big games. And he finds a way to put the ball in the basket. He's not a good shooter. You know, he ain't that fast. You know, he don't really have a great handle, yet somehow he could drop 40 on you. You know what I'm saying? Do not discount Charlotte in all of this, because Kemba Walker, for whatever it is, that he has that knack of doing what? Showing up in big games and hitting big shots. Don't sleep on Charlotte either. The Eastern Conference is not a walkover for Cleveland, like everybody's saying. It's not a walkover.
And look, Charlotte is only, listen to this, Charlotte is only a game and a half away from third place. That's just how tight it is from 3 to 6. It's a game and a half that separates all of them. Like, Toronto's in second with 2.5 games back from Cleveland. Charlotte is a game and a half out from third in the 60. That's what's making it so tough on how this is really going to come down to the wire on 3 through 6. Whoever wants to have that three seed and have, or what, 3 and 4 seed to have some home court advantage, at least. Okay. Any other topic that you two would like to talk about? I had the Rondo situation, him making a promise, but I don't think that's too big. I'll save it for the cookout tomorrow. But if you guys have anything else that you guys would like to touch on, please let me know. Does help me. Okay. I know Rondo's promise had it raised my eyebrows as much as possible, but it's not like he's going to play these guys every day. But he's calling Dallas out now, like now. And Dallas has been struggling trying to get to the finish line, too. So I did want to bring that up. And Dallas is actually at the ninth. They're actually out of the situation right now. They're half a game back from Houston. And this is something that Chandler alluded to also, said Dallas will fall out. Well, Nostradamus is hot again. Dallas is now the ninth seed in the Western Conference. Can they fall any further? is the question. But I'll save that for the girl. I'll save it for the girl channel.
I got something. I got something for you. I just saw it. John Jones.
Oh, my God.
I've seen that.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Okay. What, we give you dessert. We give you dessert here in the kitchen. We give you dessert. Now, how many infractions does this guy have on the road? Now, it's like, okay, we know your hands are weapons. We know ain't nobody really trying to mess with you. You're dangerous. Your hands are your money. Like, don't talk junk to you. All right, so be it. But you are not bigger than the law, dog. You just got your belt stripping from you because of what you were doing out there on the road. And now he's out here cursing cops out. I'll throw this one around the kitchen, see how you guys feel about it. Tommy, I'll let you set off your thoughts on John Bones Jones. And what is it with the Jones brothers? I mean, Chandler Jones, outside of Gillette Stadium, high off of that synthetic weed, in front of, you know, Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Bill Belichick said, you know what, I'm not dealing with that. Get him out of here. And now John Bones Jones just lost his belt, and you are back in the news again on a traffic infraction. Your thoughts?
Didn't he get a citation for drag racing? That's what you're talking about, right, Chandler?
Yeah.
The drag racing. I can't say a whole lot because I've done it. I mean, it's just something with the – I really think he's adrenaline junkie. He has to have that adrenaline. I've done it. Have I paid for it? Yeah. But, I mean, it's not – it's bad, definitely, after coming off of what he's come off of, worked his way back, got a big title fight next month against Cormier, where I believe he'll win, but you never know where James's head's at anymore. I mean, it's just, I really, really think Dana White's got to set him down and literally tell him, I'm hiring a driver for you. You do not get in the car again. You get in the car again driving, you will never fight this company again. The only problem with that is he'll look at you and say, okay, and go right to Bellator. Bellator will take him. That's money for them. So, I mean, I don't know what you – unless they all come together and just completely pull his license away and tell him, no more driving, no more nothing, or you don't fight at all. I mean, I don't know what else to do.
He's a cash cow, so it's like they can't really totally walk away from him. You know what I'm saying? So that's the one thing that I'm looking at. Like, they can't be like, well, you do this, we're not gonna message you anymore. You know, so that's how I look at that situation. But he has to know what he's doing to himself. He can mess everything up. You know, like I just don't get it. Chandler, your thoughts on John Bones Jones in the news once again?
He's a moron. I'm gonna call him a freaking moron. Because here's the thing. Now, I'm reading the article. He said he was just, listen, anybody who's ever had a driver's license knows if there's a cop around and you rev your freaking engine, okay, you know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about the stand. Okay, I gotta get on the gas because maybe I'm driving a clunker and I gotta keep the engine up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So I can actually not stall out. But when you rev your engine on a Corvette and you know it's probably the 2016 Corvette, and that thing is just, oh, my God, fantastic, okay? You telling that cop, give me a ticket. That's what you're doing. You're telling the cop, give me a ticket, because you're about to peel the wheels and do all of the nonsense. Even if it's just that, which I don't believe it is. I believe he was drag racing. But even if it was that, you're asking for a ticket. Everybody knows this. So why would you do it? First of all, your license is suspended in New York. So you're lucky that Vegas is even letting you drive, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That they're not on that thing where if you suspend it in one state, you suspend it in our state, okay? So then, I mean, dude, where's his brain at? Where is his brain at?
Been because
you know what the next thing is, right? he's going to get popped for drugs or alcohol again. That's the next thing. Tommy's right. He is an adrenaline junkie. He is. That is a form of getting high. That's a form of getting high. So you still, you're talking about you sober, but you're still doing the same behaviors that you did when you were using. Be it alcohol, drugs, whatever it was you was doing. Okay? I'm just saying this, and I'm saying it right now. I don't think he ever fights again, because I think before his next fight, something else comes up where he gets popped or something.
Hey,
oh, by the way, he's on probation in New York. By the way, he's on probation.
He has 26 days until his next fight. And if he keeps going at this rate, if you ever seen the movie Jungle Fever, in the words of Samuel L. Jackson, I smoked the TV, okay? I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
Hey, it is what it is, man. This dude is he's turned out to be a moron, man. And that's why I said, Ty, that I thought that him going up to the heavyweight thing and all of that, I think this dude doesn't know what he wants to do right now. I think he'll fight Cormier. And then, I think personally that your boy Anthony Johnson should be fighting him right now because his head is not in the game. His head is not
right.
Where it should be. It's not where it should be. It's really not.
And Anthony has to wait for the winner of this fight. So, and I know that there was so much in between these two before John had got arrested before the end of the new year or the end of the year, and Anthony's had to basically wait for this fight to go down. So, just anticipation, and I know John has been talking so much junk. I've seen several interviews with Cormier and John, and they. You know, it's kind of like the older guy talking to the younger guy, but John is the more, I don't even want to say experienced fighter, but the more seasoned fighter. I'm going to say that the correct way. The more seasoned fighter than Cormier, because Cormier basically wants to grapple. John has more in the bag. So if this fight does end up going down by the 23rd, Cormier faces some danger, unless he doesn't get himself in trouble. Speaking on John Jones, if he doesn't get himself in trouble, he could end up hoisting that title again and having the belt.
I'll say this: they both literally hate each other. When they talk trash, it's not like that. It's not like it's just to build a fight up like some of it is, like some other fighters are. These two literally hate each other,
real bad. The problem is
Cormier is just—he's not good. I mean, you know, we say this relative to UFC fighters. You know what I'm saying? I know he can take me out there and wrap me up in a box, but I'm just saying, you know, Cormier is not good. He's not good. So once again, John Jones is gonna beat him, and it's not even gonna be a good fight, I don't think, because Cormier is just not good enough to beat Jones. I don't care what he says; he's not good enough to beat him. You know, this is like, you know, a warm up fight for Anthony Johnson. That's really what this is. This is a warm-up fight.
Mm-hmm. And me personally, I don't like it because Anthony don't get to fight. He gets to basically have to train and wait for one of these guys. So, I mean, he's coming off of a big win. My first time seeing him live fighting. I just want to see Anthony get it, man, because I literally know him more than high and by and, you know, shake his hand in public. Like, we kick it. You know what I'm saying? We kick it. So, that's my guy,
what?
Man. So,
what scares me is Jones is going to win the belt, like we all expect him to. What do 95% of the fighters do after a fight? Besides make sure they go to the hospital and everything, make sure. They go out and they party and celebrate
yep.
alcohol. How much you want to bet Jones gets in trouble and gets that damn belt taken away from him again?
Now, if that happens, then I go with you, Tommy. I don't blame Dana White or them stripping him of the belt again. If he's not responsible enough to know how much is at stake for him to just – he didn't even fight in the past, what, a couple of years? In over a year,
yeah.
Like, no.
I think it's two years.
He has to know stuff.
But that's why this story bothers me so much. You're 26 days away from a fight. Right now at this point, you should be hunkered down, you know, training, eating. Your focus should be only on the fight, not sitting around racing your damn Corvette. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I know you guys take breaks and all that other, but you should be so focused on the fight right now that doing something stupid like that wouldn't even occur to you because you understand what I'm saying? The last 30 days before a fight is when a fighter really locks in. You know, you make sure you're eating right, you're focusing, you're watching tape or video, whatever you want to call it, you know, of the guy. You're going out there now, you're okay, this is the plan, this is how we're going to fight, this is what we're going to do. You know what I'm saying? You're tightening up everything. You're not out racing. You're not. I'm sorry. You're not doing interviews. You're not in the news. People don't even know where you are. You look at the great fighters, be it boxing, MMA, whatever. The last 30 days, did you even hear their name in the news? And he's racing for that?
The last 30 days before the fight.
The last 30 days before the fight. Did you see them doing interviews? No. Did you hear anything about them? No. It's like they disappeared off the face of the earth. You know what I'm saying? Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, whoever. The last 30 days before their fight, you didn't hear a peep from them. Not a peep. And this dude is doing this nonsense, man. I'm sorry. He got to get his life together, man.
I mean, Cormier's not even doing UFC tonight. That airs, I think it's what they do it once in a while now, but I think, believe now, it's back on Fox One. And he's not even on UFC tonight. He's disappeared. He said he wanted to focus on the fight.
Well, like I said, we got a little more than 3 weeks until this all starts to go down. John Jones, man, I respect your fighting game, but your state of mind or, you know, sense of urgency, I don't know where that comes into play, man. I really don't, man. But who am I to talk about him? Nobody's perfect, and I will say that in defense to him, in defense.
There's only one Jones brother that apparently has a brain. That's the third one playing football because you never hear about him. People forget it. There's even a third Jones brother. You know what I'm saying?
Arthur.
They forget there's even a third brother. Right. Nobody even.
Arthur. He come from Baltimore.
When's the last time you heard his name in the news?
I think I've seen the two brothers mess up already. Like, it ain't going to be me. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the only way I look at it. Look. All right. We're going to shut it down because I could go on another story, too. Because the other story I could talk about is what the hell is Adrian Broner doing? I could do that.
Oh, my God. But, yes, please, let's do that because that idiot.
We'll save it. That's a show in itself, this dude getting arrested before the fight. Like, really? You got a fight coming up and you get arrested for assault or robbery?
Yeah.
Look, we can do this for hours with him. I don't get it. Okay.
Dude, it's...
Stop! But I need this is for tomorrow. I need something. Chill out. Relax. I need plugs and clothes off the boat because you coming up with the senseless dishes like the oh my god dishes, you know, with John Bo Jones and Broner. Like, come on, stop. Okay, plugs and clothes off from both of you. I'll start with you first, Mr. Beard. I need a plug, clothes off, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down. Here's the wrap up.
Good show, and I ain't got much. I haven't really watched a whole lot today. Today's my 1 year anniversary, so I gotta get ready and go out and get some dinner. Wife should be here soon. But have a nice show, everybody.
So sweet. Look at Tommy. Sports City. I didn't even know. Okay, Sports City. One time for your mind, Sports City. One time. I didn't even notice what was going on. He came to the kitchen. I gotta give one. Shout out to Karen Beard, my sister. I don't know if she's a Hurricane fan, but By Tommy, she my hurricane sister, so regardless, one way or another, you better get her some green and orange. But, Chandler, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down. Here at the wrap up.
As usual, check out my nephew. He's got his website. We'll be up soon at shitgreatmusic.com. Matt Harvey, it may not start the season opener because there's a non-baseball related injury issue. Let's hope that he turns out okay. Hussein Abdullah is retiring because he don't want to get beat up no more. Other than that, man, it's starting in April, Tuesdays, I will not be here because I'm starting my classes at Villanova. I'm also trying to build my nonprofit, so I won't be around on Tuesdays. Other than that, man, it was fun tonight, and somebody in the Jones family, grab them two idiots and knock their heads together. Do something.
Man, he going to Villanova. He done made his way from Michigan to PA, people. Let's go. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs. The chef will be back here tomorrow at the cookout, 7 p.m., same time, same bat channel. Get back in the kitchen. The grill will be on fire. Adrian Broner, you are up next. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
We did it like that, and now we do it like this. We did it like that, and now we do it like this.
Yeah. The clock ticks. Who got the cocaine? Don't tell me it's the little kids on Soul Train. The metaphor sent from my brain to my jaw. It comes from other places, not the tinted faces. Journalistic values are yellow, and then of course falters. You watch Channel Zero with that bitch Mama Lawton. She have you believe black invented track with President Lyndon had the formula way back in 63 with Kennedy. Yes, the double cross. Remember that's when they blow his fucking head off. Vietnam vets come back looking like one-armed pets. Nixon bombs, here in Texas. No picket fence, no job, no angel in the car. Blue collar turns to bourgeois. Depressed in your chest. Demerol for cess, no dough, crack and veils much less. White, he can sell on the corners of Bushwick. White, he can sell on the corners of Flatbush. White, he can sell on the corners of Bed-Stuy. Pass the torch to that nigga guy. So just die, nigga, die, nigga. You're too black, you can't handle, you're too strong, get high. Five clock, next boost, you steal. In 95.